The first challenge is that there are two pathogens which has been the focus, which is Salmonella and Campylobacter. Salmonella is easy to grow. It's gram-negative bacteria and large shape, aerobic, and it could be facultative, and it could be grow very easily in the lab situation. So it's easy to be stimulated situation in the food processing. Campylobacter is a little bit of a challenge because it's a microalophilic pathogen. It's very ironic and it's very interesting. It's a food safety concern. However, it is very difficult to grow in the lab. So it's a challenge sometimes when you go ahead to do the pilot plant processing, it cannot grow very well.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmanich.com/AccuGut to learn more. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an eco-lab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
My name is Doug Corbin. I'm one of the hosts of the Poultry Podcast Show. Welcome to our latest installment. If you find this interview interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. You can also learn more about all of our podcast segments, which cover poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed milling, and pet food. And you can feel free to suggest a new guest for our program as well. Our guest today is Dr. Kanglang Shen. He is Associate Professor of Human Nutrition and Foods and an Extension Specialist in Food Systems and Human Health at the University of West Virginia. Welcome to the program, Kanglang.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a pleasure to welcome you. You have a very interesting and varied background. So can you share how you came to work in your current position at the University of West Virginia?
Thank you. I'll be love to do that. And I got my PhD degree at Colorado State University from 2006 to 2009. By the time I'm focusing on is the microbial safety of red meat. Basically, it's control E. coli 0157H7 in beef. And then I worked in industry a little bit and become a microbiologist at USDA AIS. And then I find I'm more fit for the academic situation. So I become an assistant professor at Western Kentucky University. So in 2015, there's a great opportunity opening at West Virginia University. So I came to apply and I got a position of assistant professor and extension specialist. It's a great opportunity for me because I can get together with my wife. She is a professor at the University of Pittsburgh. And when I started my job at West Virginia University, we are in a state is relatively small, do not have a big food industry. However, we have lots of small farms. They are hardworking people, and they focus on the produce safety, produce production. But at the same time, there is a big market of those small poultry processors. And if you look at the national survey, our broiler production in West Virginia is ranked about 11 to 12 in the whole United States. Lots of them in the eastern panhandle, clear to the Hardy County, which is in the border of Maryland and also Virginia. So then I start to think about, as an extension specialist, I need to do something integrated for research and also extension to improve the microbial safety of those small poultry farmers and growers. So this is what I started my research and extension program related to the microbial safety of poultry meat.
Oh, that's interesting.
AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the poultry industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive poultry production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
What was exciting about an academic position for you?
I have a joint position, which is 40% teaching, 40% research, and 20% extension. I was very excited about teaching. So I teach in general microbiology with 140 students every year. I teach for the chemistry. I teach for the microbiology lab. And there is a two lab sections, which is about isolation pathogens from the poultry meat. And we also do the enumeration and the detection from the general microbiology level and the molecular microbiology level. And research, we are focusing on microbial safety of the poultry meat in our local farms, especially they are doing the mobile poultry processing. And that is very specific in the West Virginia. It is different from those large industry in the southern parts of the states, very typical. And lots of the work needs to be done. Then, based on these results from teaching and research, we need to change them into layman language and into non-technic terminologies. Then we could be teaching those material and knowledge to the local farms. So this comes out with the extension. And I gave the talks to the Small Farm Conference Center, and I made up some of the videos and the short course demonstration related to the mobile poultry processing, related to the sanitizing of those poultry processing facilities. And that is a work also collaborated with West Virginia Farmers Market Association. So these are the things that very energized myself to work hard every day. And it is fits the land grant mission, which is we have to establish an integrated teaching, research, and extension, and to establish a sustainable food supply system. And here we are typically are focused on the poultry processing.
It sounds like you have a very nice integration of your teaching interests and your research interests and also the extension work that you do.
Yes.
So working with small producers, presumably it's small producers using the mobile abattoirs, what are some of the challenges that they face relative to, say, a larger commercial processing plant?
The first challenge is that there are two pathogens which has been the focus, which is Salmonella and the Campylobacter. Salmonella is easy to grow. It's gram-negative bacteria and large shape, aerobic, and it could be facultative, and it could be grow very easily in the lab situation. So it's easy to be stimulated situation in the food processing. Campylobacter is a little bit of a challenge because it's a microalophilic pathogen. It's very ironic and it's very interesting. It's a food safety concern. However, it is very difficult to grow in the lab. So it's a challenge sometimes when you go ahead to do the pilot plant processing, it cannot grow very well. So that needs to be a lot of a preliminary study to verify that, to demonstrate the technology is working. The second is that the mobile poultry processing is relatively the procedures are simple and concise compared to the large industry. So for example, in the standard poultry processing, there is an inside-outside bird's wash after you do the defeathering. In the mobile poultry processing, we skip that steps. We don't have it. We directly move into the evisceration process, which means we take out all the intestinal stuff. That is a major procedure for the microbial cross-contamination. And then following, we're going to do the chilling processing. The chilling time is variable between 1 hour, 2 hour, even 24 hours. And compared to the industry scale, they have a standardized like 45 minutes. 1 hour procedure, the procedure is a little bit different. Another thing is that we also need to be transferring all these knowledge to the local farms, and we need to fill the gap between their knowledges and our textbook knowledges and our publications. So how to transferring those scientific material to at a local application level, this is always a challenge for an extension specialist.
So the process is different. Does it create different risks or different levels of risk compared to a large commercial processing plant?
It is actually not. It's a little bit surprised. So we do a microbial preference survey from our poultry broilers and broil samples and the whole birds from our farmers market processed and from our mobile poultry processing. In our university, we find that the salmonella, the percentage is around like 10%, which is fits the national standards, has to be lower than 10.4%. And our Campylobacter is relatively high, is about like 30 to 40%, which is higher than the 7.4%, which is required by the national standards. So here and there, we up and down a little bit, but basically the microbial quality is stay the same. It stays similar.
Okay. So you've done a number of surveys at farmers markets related to poultry products. Do you find that consumers have particular concerns or opinions towards poultry products specifically, or the small scale poultry production?
I do not find anything related to they are resistant to purchasing any of the mobile poultry processed products. They actually prefer to buy some from the local farmers market, because compared to the large industries scale processing, they will be treated them as organic, as a locally grown, and minimal processed. And also from the economic standpoint, sometimes they got a discount, they got a coupons, and they got to buy one, get one free, those kind of benefits. So they actually be more interested to purchasing the locally processed poultry. Another thing is very important, the industry standards processed poultry meat, they have their own profiles. Locally processed, most of them are cage-free farming birds. So regarding the meat quality, from their standpoint, the consumers are more like about that. But the major concern for all of those small consumers at the local farms, they are more interested is still the quality. The safety is not really their concern, because all the poultry finally they have to cook to the internal temperature at least 176 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. Have to be well done cooked. It's different from the beef. And the price is really their concern. But I do have, there is a welcoming atmosphere in the local farmers market for the consumers to buy those mobile poultry processed products. It is not resistant at all. It's a very good local community engaged atmosphere.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess one of the things I'm curious about is, sometimes what I find is consumers that maybe prefer small scale local production have certain opinions or attitudes or perceptions of the large scale commercial industry. So you mentioned that they see it as being cage free. And of course, you know, commercial broiler production is pretty much entirely cage free as well. So, related to the consumer's knowledge, have you looked at how familiar they are with commercial production versus small scale production?
At this moment, based on our limited data, we haven't seen any of the difference between that. At this moment, our survey is focused on the mobile poultry processor user in the West Virginia. From our survey, you can see that there is more than 50% of the producers. They are actually very interested about learning this technology. And we even ask them if the training will causing like 5% of the cost of the of the processor. We're going to have to let you pay the extra budget. Is that you still interested in coming? They're willing to do that. At least like 70-60% of the participants are willing to do that. So I would say it's a very friendly environment for them to learn. And I also want to have pointed out that this is brand new from the West Virginia state. West Virginia, in the history, they do not have this mobile poultry processing utility. So what they can do is that they're going to go across the board, go to Maryland, of Virginia to processing, and then they go back to sale within the state, which is approved, which is allowed. Then start from 2019, the WV, Department of Agriculture and the Small Farm Association, and also the Small Farm Conference Center and the Farmers Market Association, they work together. They established two mobile poultry processing units at Charleston and Kaiser of West Virginia, which makes those small local producers are very easy to use, and they could rent at a very low cost to do that.
That's interesting. So I noticed that you also work with produce, so vegetables and fruits, also related to food safety. Are there things that you've learned working with produce that apply maybe not the same pathogens, but some of the same challenges in terms of ensuring product quality and safety?
I do find there's a common both of that is antimicrobials using. It could be universally applied to against microorganisms for both fresh produce and the poultry meat. So, for example, based on the national survey, the number one antimicrobials used in the United States of poultry processing is peroxyacetic acids. And we are using that for our fresh produce processing also. And there is a chemical company which generates a mixer of peroxyacetic acid with hydrogen peroxide, which is named as a cyanidate. The product is very effectively to prevent both the pathogen control on the poultry carcasses and also on the fresh produce surface. And we did on the drumsticks, wings, and whole carcasses. And we also testing a lot for the butternut, squash, tomatoes, apples. We find they are equally effective, not only to reducing microbiology levels, also prevents the cross-contamination. So these are the same thing. The second thing is obviously everybody knows is a chlorine solution. Hypochlorous acids, you can dissolve the chlorax into the water, easily to be dissolved, adjust the pH to 6.8. We'll let hypochlorous acids be dominant, and it's very easy to prepare, and it's cheaper. You get like $5 about 1 gallon pellets, and it's very easy to prepare. And we also find it's very effective. Both could be effective for the salmonella campylobacter on the poultry carcasses and also on the fresh produce surfaces. So there is a common thing between that is really the antimicrobials using, they could be stay the same. So that's very encouraging, because otherwise, when you process a poultry, you need to using one set. You process the produce, you need to another set of the chemicals. It makes them challenging and confusing sometimes. And also, when you change between different commodities, it is also easy to cause the cross-contamination of those antimicrobial-resistant bacteria. And I think it is also very important for our local farms, because lots of them not only have a poultry processor, they also have fresh produce. So let's say the farm, it could be the half of them used for the produce planting and the half of them used to raising the animals and calling the birds. It's a very economic and nice, smart way for them to be get a more production as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. So again, thinking about the farmers market demographic. What's the attitude of the consumers there towards using chemical antimicrobial protection, I guess?
I don't think there is a major concern about that. And they all not resistant to that at all, because the antimicrobials we are using is approved by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration. And also when they use on the poultry meat, they has been approved by the USDA FSIS, which is for the Safety Inspection Service, and there's a concentration what we tested, which is directly following their regulations. We do not use any of the overdose. We do not use any of the off-label concentrations. So when we ask that question, they are pretty much be acceptable to be used. Another thing we also want to mention, they all have a final ring steps, which means all those antimicrobials in the final step, they could be rinsed off. So for example, the fresh produce, we are using the triple wash. We are using the water, antimicrobials and the water. And finally, the antimicrobials is being washed off. And even the poultry, when we do the final chilling, we are trying to control the antimicrobials in a very low limits. So for example, the industry is recommended to using chlorine concentration can be 50 parts per million. In our local community, we could use only 5 parts per million, but we find that the antimicrobial effects is the same.
I'd like to remind our audience that if you find this or any of our previous topics worthwhile and informative, please subscribe to the Poultry Podcast Show YouTube channel by clicking on the bell icon to receive our notifications. You can also share the video if you learned something new today. So in general, what do you think consumers should know about the safety of poultry products?
They should recognize that there is a two major pathogens in there, like I just mentioned earlier, is Salmonella and the Campylobacter. And they also need to understand that based on the regulation, Salmonella and the Campylobacter is not zero tolerance on the poultry meats. This is different from E. coli 0157H7 in beef steaks and on the ground beef. E. coli 0157H7, because of the big outbreaks back in 1993, they are zero tolerance. Salmonella and the Campylobacter is allowed to up to have 7.4 and 10.4% respectively on the poultry carcasses. So make sure the roughly cooking to the internal temperature, 176 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 71.1 degrees Celsius, and also 274 degrees Celsius is important to prevent the microbial safety concern from the public health standpoint. And the second thing I also want to say is that recently, there is a new regulation comes out with chicken nuggets, which is breaded chicken nuggets. The new regulation requires zero tolerance of Salmonella because all our researchers, government agencies, we all want to protect our kids because the kids is a big market for the chicken nuggets. So we are very welcome for that regulation. Although it will give a lot of challenge for the small producers if they're preparing the sharing the chicken nuggets, especially breaded chicken nuggets. However, from the food safety standpoint, it is a right thing to do.
Yeah, and of course, the consumer has an important part to play in the overall food safety story as well. So, that's good to hear. Your university appointment involves research and teaching and extension. We've talked a little bit about that. And you've talked about how you integrate it seems like a very integrated program. So how do you balance those responsibilities, 40% research, 40% teaching, 20% extension? Is that a challenge?
It is not a challenge for me because I've been there for many years. And first of all, is that you have to do your teaching work and make sure it is mostly to be done, prepare the class very well. It's not going to be a burden for you to think about what am I going to teach next year, next semester. So at the beginning, you have to prepare very well. And I can say that my teaching style is very unique. I barely using slides. I use blackboard chalk talk. I write on the blackboard because I think the students taking the notes, it is very important. But at the same time, because of the pandemic, it happens a couple of years ago, which gave them the challenge to come into the classroom. So I established a YouTube channel, which is all my teaching is being recorded, uploaded in my YouTube channel, is publicly available. So they could study basically any times. So that's something new. And also I could go back to see what I taught last year. Is there anything I should improve? Is there anything I should change to make the new students, the new generations to be understand well? So this is routinely done every semester. Then we'll find the time during the semester if I didn't teach, then I'm going to work with them in the lab. For example, tomorrow I'm going to processing about like 25 birds. We're going to do the chilling processing with the vinegar water because our local community, they are very interested about using vinegar water to do the decontamination because this is treated as an organic processing. So we're going to have to do that, and I have to working with my students in the lab. Then in the summer times, we got off of the teaching. We got a little bit less work of the research. So I have to do some of the extension, including some of the recording of the short courses, making the fact sheets. So another thing what I'm going to do, like making the menu of the mobile poultry processing, like a basic hazard plans. I have already done that, but I'm going to polish those materials, and hopefully it's going to be published next year somewhere in the West Virginia local website with the Farmers Market Association, Small Farm Conference Center. So it's a kind of a challenge, but it's a very fun to be integrated with those three important issues, because that's a mission of the 8062 Land Grant University, the faculty should do.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Beringer Ingelheim, health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International, creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Strong bird performance starts with a healthy environment. Healthy environments start with Jones Hamilton. Evonik Animal Nutrition is committed to ensure food security and safety while reducing the ecological footprint of animal farming. Its products and services use evidence-based solutions that seek to promote animal welfare and reduce reliance on natural resources. All this is underpinned by long-standing industry partnerships and deep customer understanding. Evonik's focus on efficiency, sustainable, healthy nutrition, and collaborations with livestock farming partners creates value for customers and consumers.
So I'm curious about your YouTube channel. So with the lectures available online, do you find that impacts your in-person attendance in class?
I did not find that. And I also had a flexible attendance policy in my lectures, but in my labs, I do require them to come in because I often make the jokes like, if you see LeBron James playing basketball every night, if you don't practice playing basketball, you cannot play by yourself. So attending the lab section is always very important. But the lectures, because you could get anything from anywhere recently, and so I give you flexible. So for example, when we talk about biochemistry section of the bacteria, if you feel very comfortable about the biochemistry, you could be just not attending the class. You could watch my videos because you can spend other times for the other subjects, which is interested for your academic life. But overall, my attendance is basically more than 60 or 70%, even I not require them to come, because I think I have a very nice atmosphere in the classroom, and my unique teaching style will be attracted lots of students to learn. And lots of them even ask me, can I join your lab after semester ends? And all my graduate students is coming from my classroom teaching, from the undergraduates at WVU.
Okay, good. So it sounds like you've got a pretty good reputation as a teacher.
Yes, that's a very excited about that. But more important is not for me, is for the students to learn. That's very important. Their success is our success. I always treat that way.
So we talked about, you know, currently the biggest challenges for the poultry industry are salmonella and campylobacter. Are there any emerging threats that you think are on the horizon, or anything that we should be watching for as it relates to food safety of poultry products?
I do believe there is a two pathogen is maybe need to be concerned in addition to the salmonella and the campylobacter. Number one is listeria. Because Listeria monocytogenes, this is a topic for the ready-to-eat meat products. For the raw meat, is not a concern. However, more and more publishers, more published researchers has been showing that's an emerging pathogen. We have not drew the preference survey, a profile survey for that, but we'll maybe move to the next step about that. Another one is a Clostridium. The Clostridium has already been focused by the groups, research groups right now around the United States and around the world, because it's an endosporforming bacteria. And even you use the cooking processing, sometimes you're not going to kill the endospore. So that is a major concern rising recently. Very interesting is Clostridium difficile, which is Cadiff. A couple of years ago, it's a hot topic. Well, since the pandemic comes, it's really everything is focused on the COVID later. So that's part of the research is slowed down a little bit. But I do think Clostridium and Listeria is another two, we say, under-researched, ongoing, emerging pathogen in the poultry meat.
Yeah, we'll have to keep our eye on that. And of course, you know, we want to continue to produce safe and wholesome food for our consumers.
Yes, exactly correct.
So are there any topics that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about, or any passions that you have in your work that you'd like to share with us?
I do think there is something is that we went through the pandemic. It's been 3 years, very tough, and we learned from different resources as a microbiologist. What I picked the positive parts of that, it's remind us, regardless of what the federal government or the state government agency says, ourselves, the personal hygiene is always important. And we should learn that before you go to eat something, wash your hands. After you go to the restroom, wash your hands. And the wash your hands is important, not just to, like, put your hands on the tap water, like flowing away, let the water be there for like a couple of seconds. You need to make sure there's a 25 seconds. Use antimicrobial soaps to wash. That's important. Then some people say you need to sing a happy birthday song or make sure that 25 seconds. Well, it's hard to do sometimes, but using antimicrobials to wash your hands to before you eat anything, it is important. And I do believe for the safety is always a collaboration between the teaching research extension, between the regulations ourselves. So that's a multitask and a multidisciplinary work.
Yeah, that's great advice for everybody. And I think we learned a lot from the COVID pandemic.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Well, Kang Liang, thank you so much for your time, for the interview. That was really interesting, and you cover some really important topics. So I'd like to thank you for joining us today on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. It's my honor to be here, and I hope I could be share my thoughts with all the audience. And like I said, we work together to make our world, our community safe.
Great. And thank you to our audience. If you enjoyed this interview, please give us a thumbs up on the platform you're using to view the podcast. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.